turn to the Gospel of John, and we're going back to chapter 4 again. John chapter 4, verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty, to have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speaks to you am he." Let's pray. Oh Father God, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that in your word we can learn so much because you teach us. Because you are, when you are the teacher, and that we can have the understanding, and that you speak directly to our spirit to spirit. And we pray, Lord, that this evening, Lord, once again you will open our hearts to receive your word. And give us humility to accept, and give us the strength to carry out your commandments that you give to us. For this is your word, and it is our desire, Lord, that we will follow your word. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about true worship tonight. What is true worship? In earlier this year, there was a survey being carried out on Christian beliefs. It's been carried out across this country, and where there were 2,133 UK adults were interviewed, and they were asked with questions of the fundamental Christian beliefs nature. And there were also 520 practicing Christians who were also interviewed separately. And the results for the general population, they were weighted to be representative by age, region and gender. It was a proper survey that was being carried out. And so the survey, it took the form of presenting statements to people, and people would be choosing to agreeing or disagreeing with those statements. And the survey was the 2018 State of Theology Survey. That's what it was called. And so people were able to, when they were presented with a statement, they will be asked whether you agree with it or not. And there are five categories, from strongly disagree to just disagree. And then on the other end of this, on the other end is when people are strongly agreeing with the statement, or they just agree with it. And then in the middle is when they don't know what to answer. So there are five categories altogether. I have picked out a few of the questions for us tonight to find out what the general church, and in saying general church, I'm saying the very broad church in this country, people who would call themselves Christians without giving any reasons, without qualifying their claim, and simply people who call themselves as Christians. And this general church, I just want to have a look, have a quick look at what their beliefs are and how much they, and how much we agree with them or not. I have rounded and simplified this statistic as an illustration for quick comparison, so that I'm not going to give you the statistics for all five categories, but simply whether they agree or they disagree. And I think it is a good test for us too. And we are going to take part in this, and as we go through the few questions that we have. But if you do, but if you are interested in the actual survey itself, you can go on to the website, thestateoftheology.com/UK. The first question then, that was presented was, God is a perfect being and cannot make a mistake. Okay, God is a perfect being and cannot make a mistake. So what do we say in this church? Do you agree or you disagree?
Strongly agree.
Strongly agree. Okay. Someone said strongly agree. Okay. The general church, and who's been categorized as practical Christians, that's what they are called. Sorry, practicing Christians. And there were 85% who take the same position as us. There were 85% in the general church who agree with us on this statement. Okay? So not all of them. Don't know why they go to church. Don't know why they bother at all. Don't know why they call themselves Christian. Question two. God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. True or false?
Strongly false.
Okay, so we disagree with this statement. Those practicing Christians in the general church, there were only 30% who disagree. There were only 30% who take our position. Shocking, isn't it? Number three. The Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but it's not literally true. True or false? False? Yeah? We disagree with this? The number of Christians, or the percentage of the church out there who take the same position of us, is 45%. 45, less than half. Let's move on. Number four, modern science disproves the Bible. True or false?
Strongly disagree.
Those who go to church, or those who call themselves Christians out there in the general church, there were 60% who disagree with this statement. Number five, sex outside of traditional marriage is a sin. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Strongly agree. Yeah. The church in the survey, 65% of them agreed. 65%. Number six, even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. True or false?
True.
We agree with that. Okay. The church out there, there were one in three who called themselves Christians agreed with this statement. Only one in three say that it is true. Number seven, gender identity is a matter of choice. Strongly disagree. Okay.
You shouldn't even be there. Like a lot of others.
Well, the church out there, half the people disagree. Half the people disagree. Number eight, only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone as the Savior receive God's free gift of eternal salvation.
Strongly agree.
The practicing Christians who took the survey, there were 70% who agreed. Number nine, religious belief is a matter of personal opinion. It is not about objective truth.
False.
We disagree with that statement. The practicing Christians out there who took the survey, there were 45% who disagree. Less than half. Finally, the Holy Spirit is a force, but it's not a personal being. Agree or disagree?
False.
We disagree with it. This got to be the most extreme, most staggering answer that I've got from this survey. The practicing Christians, only 15% disagree. Only 15%. I don't know where they get their teaching from. I think this church, it should be full.
Yeah.
We should be teaching them what to believe. Mm-hmm. We should be teaching them the truth. But altogether, there are 34 questions in the survey in total, and there are some areas where there are very divided answers than others. And by divided, I mean, apart from those who claim that they didn't know whether it is yes or no, and by divided, that means there are more or less equal number of people who agree and the number of people who disagreed. And those it is also revealing that those questions where they are more divided, they are of the subjects of nature and definition of sin, authority and inerrancy of the Bible, material blessing for faith, necessity for local church worship, church entertainment, sexuality, and also the objective truth of belief. And I think this final one, the objective truth of belief, is the most dangerous of all, and is the cause of all the problem here. Because people believe that faith, or our belief, what we're supposed to believe, is not based on a standard. It is not based on an objective truth. In other words, what the church believes in, what Christians should believe in, they say, should be subject to their opinions. It is changeable. It is based on what they feel is right. That's why I think this is the most dangerous of all. When people are divided on whether it is the objective truth or it is the people's opinion. It is truth against opinion. or opinion versus the Word of God. When they compare the answers given by the general population against the church, the answers in the general population, about 30% of the general population, most of the time they would answer, "I don't know," on most questions. They didn't know which way they should go, or they had no interest in finding out. 30%. However, when it comes to those who call themselves Christians, they were well clued up, and at least 90% in every case, they knew what the answer was, or they thought they knew what the answer was. And twice, it happened twice, that 10% of the Christians didn't have any answer. And they were for two questions. The question of whether the Holy Spirit is responsible for someone's regeneration, or whether hell is the real place. And actually, 21% who call themselves Christians did disagree that the Holy Spirit is responsible for someone's regeneration. And as many as 27%, nearly a third of those, they believe that they don't believe that hell is a real place. 9% of the Christians, they didn't know whether only the power of God can cause people to trust Jesus as their Savior. In fact, 1 in 5 Christians out there, they disagree with it. 8% of the Christians, they did not know the biblical view of gender identity and homosexuality. But 43% says that gender is a personal choice and homosexual behavior is acceptable, and that is in the church. People, including some Christians, believe that they can follow their own opinions without any consequences. So when given the statement to consider, religious belief is a matter of personal opinion, it is not about objective truth. And only 43% of the Christians, they disagree with this statement. That is why most of the answers, they disagree. There are diversities of answers there. When you think that Christians, if they are following the same Christ, if they are worshipping the same Lord, surely they should be unity in the answer. Opinion versus the truth. In reality, on the matter of faith and belief, there is only one person's opinion that counts. And we know that who that person is. It is only God's opinions that counts. God's opinions has been communicated to us through the ages. Hebrews 1 verse 1 and 2, it says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." God has always spoken to us. God has always been speaking. And Jesus said in John 8:28, "I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." John 14 verse 24, "The word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." And John 15 verse 15, "All that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." God hasn't left us without his word. God hasn't left us to have to guess or to have to experiment or to have work out for ourselves what God is like. God has spoken. He has already told us what he is like, all contained in his word. In other words, the Bible is the source of God's opinion, although it is not called opinion in there. It is called truth. It is called truth. It isn't opinion. It isn't opinion because opinion can be, by definition, can be a judgment or belief not founded on certainty or truth or proof. But truth can always be ascertained and proved. God's word isn't opinion because opinion, by definition, can be the prevailing or popular feeling or view. And while the truth, it doesn't change with popularity or with trends. Opinion can be an evaluation of judgment given by an expert. Now God is unlike any human expert. His knowledge is perfect. Opinions can be advice given by a counselor, but God's truth is given not as advice, they are given as commandments. So it is not opinions we are looking for. We are looking for the truth of God. The truth, which I will give a capital T, to emphasize that it is the truth. And while those who claim to be Christians, while those who claim to be His church, and when they decide rather to have the opinions of men rather than the truth of God, surely they are not Christians with the capital C. They only deserve the lowercase or even being deserved to be called Christians at all. If Christianity is a matter of opinion, then it is a point that is open to question. We don't open the Bible to read the opinions about God. Aren't you glad of that? But we open the Bible to read the truth of God, given by the one true God Himself. So the passage that we looked at, if we pick it up from verse 10 of the passage, and Jesus said about the water that He can give. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. This is the truth. This is the truth that Jesus has spoken. Jesus told the Samaritan woman the truth, that He has the living water to give, and this living water can be had by asking Him. How did the Samaritan woman respond to Him? Verse 11, the woman said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it Himself, as did His sons and His livestock." So the woman responded with her own opinion. "Surely you haven't got anything to draw water with, and you saying that you can offer me some water. Who do you think you are?" Her opinion. "Are you greater than Jacob, our father?" Her opinion. And she even dared to challenge Jesus. He challenged her. She challenged Him. "Jacob gave us this well. You are greater than him then, are you?" Jesus declared the truth again. In verse 13, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
truth. It is true.
You know, although we say that throughout the Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament, God reveals the truth a little by little, bit by bit. It is a revelation of God, and more and more is being revealed. But even if you turn to the Old Testament, and if you take out any word of God, and it is never a partial truth. It is still the truth in its entirety. It is still a truth that is dependable. It is a truth that is still eternal, because it is the Word of God. There isn't. God has never been economical with his truth. And there isn't any statement in here that can cast doubt on what God means to us. So, although the truth is being revealed gradually, it is still in every bit solidly true. It is rock solidness, the soundness of God's truth. And what did Jesus do next then? And he decided that he would expose her. He would expose her. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And that is the woman's response. "I have no husband." And Jesus now exposed her. "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." What you have said is true. It was true when the woman answered she had no husband, but it wasn't quite right. That is the difference between our truth and God's truth. God's truth is always complete. God's truth is always solid and sound, and it stands to the test. But our truth, like this woman's, it doesn't stand up to the test. It wasn't quite right. Apart from the fact that there were five previous husbands that she had, and she was with a man now whom she's living with in adultery, which she wanted to avoid talking about, whom she wants to avoid admitting. And that is the truth that Jesus saw. When we come to God, God already knows the whole truth. The Lord, he will stop every mouth that opens with excuse for the sins that we want to hide. We can phrase it differently, like that this woman did. She had no husband. No matter how we phrase it differently, or we can try to confuse the matter, we can build a case for our innocence, we can claim diminished responsibility, we can blame someone else, the truth will always expose what is not quite right. The Lord will see it. The Lord will see it as black and white, because he is the one with true wisdom. He is the one with true knowledge. His wisdom and knowledge is perfect. Proverbs 2 verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Romans 11, 32 to 34, "For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor?" So if people would think clearly, if people would think about this, about the truth of God, if they would understand that God knows everything about them, they should stop giving their opinion away. They should stop turning to God and say, making excuse. Some would even dare to challenge God. Because on one hand, God knows that His truth will always expose our sin. But as it says in Romans, God has consigned all to disobedience, that He may have mercy on all. God wants to give us the truth only because He wants to give us also mercy. God doesn't give the truth without also offering mercy, because the truth will prove us to be sinners, but then He is a gracious God. He is graceful and He is merciful, and He wants to pardon us. He wants to forgive our sins. That's why He gives us His truth. The Samaritan woman, perhaps as her last attempt to cling on to her defense, verse 19 and 20. And she replied, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." As if she's saying, look, I know that you are a prophet and you are a Jew, but we are Samaritans. We do things differently around here. How and where we worship is just a matter of opinion, isn't it? The Samaritan woman is offering her opinions to Jesus. She gave her opinion. This is her voice of protest against the truth. A protest against the one true God, who offered her the truth, who offered her the chance of repentance, who offered her the chance of salvation. She protested with her opinion. And I think the world is full of people like that. The world is full of people like that. We've just gone through the survey, and we know that they are like that. They will offer their opinions. The sad thing is, people are trusting their lives on their opinions. And many would say, it doesn't matter what you believe. I can remember my parents offering me this opinion as well. They used to teach me, it doesn't what you believe, it doesn't matter what religion you follow. As long as you're kind, as long as you do good things, as long as you are happy. But how about the truth? What about the truth? Likewise, some Christians, they would choose not to believe in the things written in the Bible, and they simply want to follow the traditions and the teachings of the opinions of the church that has been taught for decades. They simply want to follow what everyone are following in their church, and this is the church with a lowercase c. Others, they decided maybe, oh, it's time to change something now. Let's let go of the good traditions of following the Bible. Let us follow the modern culture. Let us go with where the people are going. Let us embrace their philosophies. Let us embrace their opinions so that they are not offended. What about the truth? This Samaritan lady, she's from her background, Samaritans, they are Jews who are left behind during the exile, and they intermarried with the idol-worshipping immigrants, and they continued their way by mixing their worship practices together. Everything just mingle up together. And in their opinion, it is a way of life for their religion which is as good as any others, according to their opinion. But Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. It can't be more plain to that. Our opinion may seem right to our own eyes, but if it is not the truth of God, then its end is the way to death. Paul in Romans 1, he speaks of the judgment of God. The judgment of God that came in three phases. And that is as the result of people following their own opinions. Romans 1 verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise, that is, with their opinions. They became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. In other words, idolatry. Idolatry of all kinds. Not just idols of statues and that kind of idols, but there are other idols people seek after. It can be wealth, it can be fame, it can be all sorts of things that people worship. And once they've gone down that path, once they rejected the truth, suppressing the truth, and follow their own opinions, what happens is God's judgment on them. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity. What is this impurity here? It is sexual impurity. It is sexual impurity that is a relationship that is outside marriage. Sex that is created for relationship between husband and wife by God, and that is being disregarded. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of the bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So people have turned to their opinions and turned away from the truth. And God's judgment is to abandon them. This is the judgment of abandonment. And what happens here? They turned to their impurity. And that is what they did. It was a sexual revolution. It was a sexual revolution when adultery isn't illegal anymore. When people have open relationships with multiple partners, and when they got to that stage, God follows up with phase two of his judgment. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For the women exchange natural relations to those who are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameful acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Again, God abandoned them. Verse 24, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. And this time, it is the homosexual revolution. We've seen it, haven't we? It has happened. And it is God's judgment. He gave them up because they turned away from his truth. They still would not repent. They knew what the truth was. They knew the truth, and yet they chose to invent their own lies and opinions. And the third phase is here. Verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. What does debased mean? I looked it up. Debased means reduced in quality or value. When the mind becomes reduced in quality and value, this mind is useless. This mind doesn't function correctly. The debased mind, they were filled with all manners of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So this time, the first phase of God's judgment, God gave them up to a debased mind that don't function correctly. It is insanity. It is a mind that have turned bad, mind that has turned insane. And isn't that what we see nowadays? At this first stage of abandonment, it is seen that people have become insane and confused, unable to acknowledge reality. We have transgender people who are neither male nor female, or they are both male or female. They are inventors of evil. Evil always has existed, but God at this stage, people at this stage are able to invent new ways of committing more evil. People are able to invent new ways for evil to manifest. We don't even want to imagine what these things are. And I hope we will never have to come across this. And even if, and I hope that when we do come across this, we don't recognize it. God's judgment has begun on man's opinions. Have we not seen it? Have we not seen the sexual revolution? Have we not seen the homosexual revolution? Have we not seen the lunacy of our society these days? The denial of the truth, the rejection of the truth, that is what happens when we choose to follow opinions of man. Proverbs 18 verse 2, it says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And that is our mission. Destroy those opinions, destroy those arguments, and communicate truth. Jesus replied in verse 23 and 24, he said, the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So the hour is coming and is now here. Where are the true worshippers? Where are the true worshippers who will worship in spirit and truth? God the Father, He is seeking them. He is seeking them. No doubt wickedness abounds in our society. But there is always opportunities for sinners to repent and turn to God. When truth is spoken, not when opinions are given. When truth is spoken, there is the opportunity for sinners to repent and turn to God. When truth isn't spoken, there isn't the opportunity. It's been quoted twice in the book of Hebrews. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Flesh gives birth to flesh and it is temporary. But spirit gives birth to spirit and it is eternal. Because it is God who is spirit who gives birth to our spirit. It is life eternal flowing with the living water of the spirit that Jesus is offering to the people in this day and age too. We want to be Christians who is unashamed of the truth, and we can be Christians who carry a capital C in a church, in God's church, who also has a capital C. Christians who have been born again of the Holy Spirit, who lives the Holy Spirit who lives in us to guide us in the truth of God and protect us against the opinions of men. Churches who can answer when come across the statement, religious belief is a matter of personal opinion. It is not about objective truth. True or false? Christians should be the ones who will be able to say absolutely not. Or when we are given the statement, the Holy Spirit is a force, but it's not a personal being, true or false. Absolutely false. There shouldn't be a diversity of opinions, because the Bible has already given us the answer. When we answer false, it is not because it is our opinion that it is false. It is because it is the truth that we have read from the Bible. And we cannot be wrong because of that. If we get anything from the survey, I think you will agree with me that we live in a mission field. We live in a mission field. God's judgment has already begun. We've reached the stage where right is called wrong, and wrong is called right. And there is insanity and no truth in reality. But God is seeking worshippers to worship in spirit and truth, to live and walk by the Spirit and abide by the truth, the commandments of God. Let's pray. Father God, if not by your power, if not by your Spirit, I would not be standing here today. And none of us will be sitting in this church tonight. But it is all by your power. It is all by your deeds that we have made it to today. That we have made it to be people of faith, people who believe in your word, people who would follow your law, people who delight in the word of God, who delight in your law, who delight in worshipping Christ, who delight in the righteousness of God and your decrees. Oh Lord, well, I want to thank you that we have been saved by grace, and that is not by any of our own doing, not by any of our own merits. Oh Lord, there are a lot of people out there waiting to be saved, who need to be saved. Oh Lord, may your truth be spoken. May people in this town, in this country, in this world, be convicted of their sins, be convicted of their opinions. Maybe come to find and come to know the truth, come to be given the truth by the church, by those who know that this mission field is our responsibility, by those of us who, by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, is able to think clearly, to know that this is the truth of God that cannot be compromised. The truth of God that always stands up to the test of time, that stands up to any trials, that stands up to any test. And it is the same truth that one day, or even now, is supporting us, is helping us. And this morning we heard of William talking about Christ, the solid rock we stand. Lord, that is the rock of truth that we are standing on, that will never be moved. So I pray, Lord, that continue to let your truth known to us. And let us speak the truth in love, in faith, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Enable us, your church, Lord. And Lord, even when Ali Reza is taking the step of baptism next week, Lord, I pray, Lord, that there will be non-Christians there. I pray, Lord, that there will be non-Christians there to hear his testimony. I pray, Lord, that there will be people there who will be listening to the truth for the first time. Not necessarily, it doesn't need to be from a pastor, it doesn't need to be from a theologian, it doesn't need to be from someone great and know everything. But Lord, just the simple truth that by the grace of God we are saved. And we are justified, not by our own deeds, but by what Christ has done on the cross for us. The gospel is so simple. The truth is so simple and is so straightforward. Oh, help your church, Lord. Help us. Amen.